Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Soul Boost podcast. Our mission is to bring you light and share our experience with you to help you reconnect to your soul through this podcast. And we are your hosts.
Hi, everyone. My name is Basha. I am spiritual counselor, holistic healer, and spiritual life coach.
And my name is Agnieszka. I am a digital creator, curious mind, interested in all aspects of personal development, psychology, spirituality, nutrition, and fitness.
If our message resonates with you, please follow us on Spotify and iTunes.
And now grab a cup of tea and come hang out with us. Hi guys, and thank you for joining us in the third episode of our Soul Boost podcast. And as promised, today we will talk about energy vampires. Who are they? How to identify them? Why are they so dangerous to our health? And how we can protect ourselves from them? Hello, 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 my lovely co-host. How are you doing today, Basha?
Hi. Hi, Agnieszka. I'm very, very good. Thank you for asking. And how are you? How is Croatia?
Croatia is great. It's the best country I lived in, so can't complain. Even though it's been raining the past few days, I love it here.
That's good. I'm so happy for you that you found your place.
For now.
For now. Exactly.
How is Malta?
Malta is great as well. Probably a little bit warmer than Croatia and a little bit less rainy.
And do you have a message from your tea for us today? What is your tea telling us today?
So my tea is telling us today, is telling everyone today, to let your energy be used to build, not destroy.
That is so perfect for today's episode about energy vampires. Did you pick that tea intuitively or...
No, I cannot pick it because I cannot see the messages until I unpack the bag.
Yeah. Amazing. So let's dive right in. Energy vampires. They sound pretty bad. How would you identify energy vampire?
Let's start from the fact that empaths, which we spoke about in our previous episode, are givers by nature. We like to give. And empaths tend to attract energy vampires very often. It's like a common thing. And obviously energy vampires want to take, metaphorically speaking, all good stuff, all the goodness away from empaths. So guys, if you, after meeting someone, you feel completely depleted, drained of life energy and exhausted, for no particular reason, there's a chance that you have come across energy vampire. This is the person who actually feeds off your emotional or psychic energy. And those kind of people, they generally lack empathy, consideration, compassion, and they're usually very emotionally immature. And that could be because of the pain or insecurity they feel inside. And they are basically addicted to preying on the vitality of others as an attempt to heal the pain inside, the inner suffering. And energy vampire could be anyone, your friend, family member, your boss, your son, your daughter, or even your life partner. And if you are a highly empathetic person, it is also possible to actively attract energy vampires into your life. And unfortunately, if you're a highly sensitive person who doesn't know how to set boundaries, it's quite likely that you are already surrounded by energy vampires left, right, and center. They are attracted to you because they unconsciously desire to resolve a deeper problem within their psyches. And they think of you as a solution to their problems. And if you are an empath, you are like a bright light which shines, and they get attracted to this light, like insects, I would think. And also, as I mentioned before, we found ourselves depleted and exhausted and sleepy, but also anxious or angry, ill, after we are in the presence of energy vampires very often. And you might start doubting yourself. You might feel that nobody listens to you. And as a result of constant interaction with energy vampire, we might also feel chronically fatigued. And it's quite vital that you learn how to set the boundaries, how to draw the line around these types of people. Without learning how to identify the different types of energy vampires in your life, it can be difficult for you to practice self-nurturing and assertiveness, because they live off your happiness and openness, and they suck it all from us to make us feel the way they do feel. They are toxic and unhappy people who find a joy in undermining us. And they're also very jealous, envious, yes. Narcissistic.
Very competitive.
Yes, they discourage to do anything in life. So they're very, very unhappy people.
One of the signs to look out for is whenever you have some achievement, they will always top it up.
Yeah, they can go both ways. They can actually top it up, as you said, or they can bring you down.
They victimize themselves very often. So they will try to make you feel bad for them. No mentally healthy person will seek in another person to feel bad for them. So I think it's one of the traits to also look out for. When we evaluate our relationships or when we meet new people, let's talk about some red flags.
First of all, there are several types of energy vampires. And I would like to talk briefly about each type I know of. It could be more, but I think I can recognize more or less 9-10 types. If you think you've come across a person with this kind of traits, you might also learn what kind of group that person represents and how to nurture your energy, how to protect yourself. So the first type is the narcissist vampire. And this type of energy vampires is the most harmful type for empaths and highly sensitive people. And why is that? Those kind of people have no capacity to show empathy or genuine interest toward other people.
They will pretend to have interest. They will pretend to show compassion.
Yes, and they carry this philosophy of me first, you second. I'm the most important person here. And they will constantly expect you to put them first, feed their egos, and also do what they say, no matter what. And they expect appreciation, and then they get upset when they don't get that from you. Those type of vampires will also manipulate you big time with false charm, but will just as quickly turn around and stab you in the back. If you have this kind of person in your life, you might feel a sense of big or even extreme disempowerment.
But that doesn't happen right away with narcissists though, right? Because first they love bomb you. So they are so extremely charming, and it is so easy to fall for a narcissist, not only in the romantic relationships, because these people are so charming. One of the signs to look out for when you are dealing with a energy vampire narcissist is the eyes. The eyes are dead. When I learned that, I would evaluate my past friendships and relationships. And I would think like, damn, this person really had dead eyes. No matter what the face expression, no matter if they were laughing or smiling, there is nothing in the eyes. Whenever a genuine person is smiling and laughing, the eyes are smiling too. But whenever a narcissist is smiling, their eyes are still dead. So I think it's just so important to look out for those red flags.
Yes, we should not ignore any red flags, guys. And another good tip regarding the narcissist vampire is the fact that if you, for example, gift them with something, they have a birthday or it's Christmas and they get a gift from you and they don't like it, they can make you feel guilty and apologizing for a long time until they feel like you basically humiliated yourself enough. And then they pretend being empathetic for as long as this behavior will benefit them. And they make the impression of having so much to offer, of being very intelligent, caring in person with a great sense of humor at the beginning.
Yep.
But obviously it's fake. And relationship between narcissist, energy vampire, and an empath is very harmful for an empath, as the vampire will make sure the empathetic partner will suffer from depression or illness.
Also, it is so important to identify the narcissist before the relationship goes too far. Because if you identify it early enough, you can still get out. If you are too deep in, it is much more difficult. So in those beginning stages, when they are doing their love bombing on you, they're gonna tell you that they have this amazing, insane connection with you, like they haven't had with anybody else on the first or second date. But this kind of behavior, it's not natural. So it is definitely something to look out for. If you just started dating someone and they are telling you way too much, way too fast, it is definitely a red flag.
Yes, that's true.
And they will suck all the energy out of you and they will leave you completely empty, drained, depressed, feeling inadequate, insecure. You don't want that, do you?
Well, I know that I don't. And that's actually very sad, but we just have to make sure that we don't fall for any of it. This is basically how we should protect our energy. First of all, cut the person off if possible. Just run away in opposite direction if you can. But if you cannot do it, if the person is your family member, what you can do, you can try to limit contact with that person.
So what's the second type of energy vampire?
The second worst energy vampire is the angry one, the angry vampire, because his main advantage is conflict management, but not in the good way. They are people who continuously attacking us, accusing us, and they want to have the full control of our life, of what we do, where we go, who we meet. And they very often shout and scream and demand to be listened to. And the tactic of angry vampire is to say bad things. I could even say nasty things out loud, very often in the public places. And later they withdraw after saying all these things about us, their partners, their colleagues, friends, whoever we are to them. They are withdrawing all those said things and they regretting saying them. So obviously they are apologetic. So you see...
I think your cat wants to join the podcast.
Did she? Oh, he just woke up. Obviously, this is all planned.
This is all part of the plan.
This is all in the script. So how to protect your energy from this kind of vampire? We just have to make sure the angry vampire is listened to. We have to agree that no shouting. We will talk in a civilized manner, but we will not be shouting. This is not acceptable. We have to stay calm and do not shout back.
Because that's what they want.
Yeah, of course, this is what they want. And obviously, if you stay calm, that might actually throw them out of the balance. And if you stop and count till 10 before you react to their shouting, that will obviously make them like, whoa, what's going on? Why are you not responding? Because they want to provoke you, obviously.
Sounds pretty dangerous. So what is another type of energy vampire that you would like to talk about?
The victim. Of course, the victim.
Yes. Ooh, the victim.
We probably meet that person quite often. They pray of our guilt and they believe that they are at the mercy of the world and suffer due to other people. And then they obviously not even trying to change their lives. They like to blame others. They like to manipulate and emotionally blackmail others. And they claim the whole world is against them.
I think one of the things to look out for when you meet such energy vampire victim type is at the first encounter, they will be dying to tell you about some situations where you should feel bad for them. So they will be telling you how all their exes were crazy, how anything that ever happened to them was not their fault. No mentally stable person will try to make you feel bad for them.
Yes, and their behavior comes from extremely low self-esteem. They have issues from childhood, maybe the lack of love, validation, and approval. They try to resolve this pain by making us feeling guilty. And there is a few ways to protect our energy and to nurture our energy. First of all, when you're around them, be aware of their self-pity cues. For example, a safe pity cue could be the person's tendency to blame another person for their suffering, or perhaps a description of how terrible their day has been. Don't get involved in their self-pity.
They are looking for that validation. And if you give them nothing, if you don't even say anything, they will eventually stop coming to you for this self-pity party.
Yes, and this is what we want. We want them to stop actually making us feeling guilty, making us listening to them. You can say no and stop the person complaining if it happens all the time, maybe by advising them that if this is such a serious problem, why don't you go and see the therapist?
Yep.
Another type of energy vampire is the melodramatic vampire. And these kind of people thrives on creating problems. Everything is a problem. And they often need to create drama because their lives are empty. They need some fulfillment in their life, so they create this tragedy or drama. And they very often blowing it out of proportions. Melodramatic vampires also love seeking out crisis because it gives them a reason to feel victimized and exaggerated sense of self-importance. The negative emotions that they feed off are addictive, such as anger. They very often try to ruin plans for others as something terrible happened to them a day before. For example, you very often go and do something as a group, and one of your friends experiences some drama in his or her life a day before your trip. Let's just say you're going hiking. So because something happened to that person, they expect you to cancel all the plans and don't go the next day until they actually ready to go again. But you know, those cancellations requested by them might happen very often because obviously they create some drama in their lives. What can we do in this kind of situation? We have to refuse to take sides or to be involved in their drama, in the pot steering. What we can also do is create distance and remove them from our life if possible. That's obviously the common sense. And what's very, very important, don't ask them how they feel because they will tell you all about drama. Obviously set boundaries.
Very interesting stuff. I never thought about energy vampires in so many different categories. Are there any other categories that come to mind?
Well, there are plenty. And this is one of my favorite, the perfectionist and the critic vampire. So the first person which comes to your mind, if you think about perfectionist and the critic, could be your mother-in-law. You know, the person. Yes, the person.
I think I'm safe.
Me too. You know, that person knows everything best. Obviously, not every mother-in-law has these traits. It doesn't really have to be a mother-in-law, but it's so easy to give that example. So those people know everything. They know how to raise your children. Obviously, they can do it better. They can show you how to clean because they know better. And this type of energy vampire will share their opinions with you in the areas of life nobody even asked them for.
So sharing a lot of unsolicited advice.
Yes. What to do, how to deal with these kind of advisors. We should really refuse to take what the vampire says personally. Remember that you are not responsible for other people's opinion. We have to be more assertive, but gentle at the same time, because you don't really want to hurt them. And be gentle in saying or asking to do not give you advice or tell you to do not do something. Ask them to stop criticizing you. Reduce and obviously cut off the contact with these kind of people if possible.
So what is the next type of energy vampire?
The next one could be the dominator.
Oh, dominator.
Yes, dominator. And like alpha, male or females, they want to dominate. And I think they do this because of the deep insecurities of being weak, of being bullied, and therefore they were hurt, especially as a young children in school. So they may be overcompensating that lack of acceptance or lack of respect, maybe, by intimidating us. They very often are loud-mouthed types of people who see a world as a black and white. There's no gray. They are very often racist, sexist, homophobic.
While you were talking about those types, certain people from my past come to mind where both of those types seem to be present. Is that possible, for example, for narcissists to be a dominator as well?
Of course, we can meet energy vampires who can have several traits. But when you meet that person, run for your life. full stop. Mm-hmm.
The farther it goes in, the harder it is to get out. Even exactly. In the beginning, it might be hard to get out, but the farther you go in, the harder it gets. But I think it's also very important to identify whether the energy vampire is a temporary energy vampire or is it a permanent energy vampire? Because I think at difficult times of our lives, all of us can be a energy vampire at certain point, maybe going through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. So just because somebody is being an energy vampire for a period of time doesn't mean you need to cut them off completely. Maybe you need to set boundaries and limit your time with them, or maybe it is okay to show them compassion and kindness for that period of time. And those are two different types. Me and you, we can be energy vampires from time to time as well.
Of course, absolutely.
I know that I definitely was.
Yes, and I totally agree with you. I'm pretty sure I was an energy vampire to my friends or family at some point in my life. So let me get back to
the dominatrix.
Because we spoke about the traits, and now let's talk about how to nurture your energy if you deal with this type of vampire. Agree to disagree, guys. Realize that their attempt to scare you is sourced from their deep fear of being dominated and hurt. The next type of the energy vampire is the judgmental one. And I think we meet them very often. These kind of vampires love to pick on the other people. Their treatment of others is a reflection of how they treat themselves. And they enjoy preying on our insecurities and bolstering their egos by making us feel small, ashamed, and pathetic. Remember, don't get defensive with them because you're gonna lose. You need to keep your head balanced and obviously reduce or cut off contact with them if possible.
I think it might be worth mentioning that just because you will get judgmental about somebody once in a while doesn't mean that you are an energy vampire, because humans by nature, we do get judgmental. But when we are talking about judgmental energy vampires, we are talking about people who are constantly practicing such behaviors.
Yeah, very well said. We also need to know that not all the vampires are malicious. The next type of vampire I want to talk about is the innocent vampire.
Innocent vampire.
Innocent vampire, yes.
And so,
yes, sometimes vampires can be those helpless types of people who genuinely need help, such as children or good friends who come to rely on us a little bit too much. It's also important that you encourage them to be self-sufficient. Obviously, if the children are small, if the infants, they don't understand.
Change your own diaper. I don't care. Change your own diaper. Why don't you cook dinner for once? Almost four.
Yes, so there is a time in a parent's life that children start to understanding and obviously explaining to them that you need a little bit of time for yourself. So playing the role of constant rock or support will eventually, will leave you depleted. As a result, you have little energy to support yourself. But with friends, it's a different story. So if they rely on our help a little bit too much, we really have to have this gentle conversation with them. How to protect our energy in this kind of situation? Obviously, helping those in need is a display of compassion, of love, but we also need to remember to love ourselves. And we have to gently remind the innocent vampire that you need time for yourself as well, guys.
I love that name, innocent vampire.
Yeah, isn't it cute?
Cute little innocent vampire.
Yeah, you have to try to encourage them to develop strength and fortitude and resilience so that you can remove the role of constant caretaker. They're quite easy to deal with because they're so cute.
Are your cats energy vampires? I think Lolek
No. I would never say that. They are my healers, actually. They are my healers.
The purr, it's actually quite healing, isn't it?
It is. Their vibrations, yeah, they are quite healing. I'm just looking at him and he's looking so cute. Oh my goodness. So
on to the next. On to the
next. The next type of vampire is the chronic talker. And as you can probably think, this type of vampire is quite annoying, especially to us empaths. And why? They cannot speak briefly over the phone. They tell you long stories, very often forgetting to breathe, and they don't allow you to speak at all until they finish their story. And they have this irritating manner of standing too close or sitting too close. And they just want to talk. And they don't want to allow anyone to talk. So how to deal with this kind of person?
Tell them to shut up.
Pretty much. This is what we need to do, but in a very well manner. The only way you can stop them talking is to verbally
abuse them.
Not abuse them. Let's just say interrupt them. Yes. So please verbally interrupt them, but be tactful when doing this and asking them to change the subject of the conversation, because very often they might tell you the story of their life. Yeah. And your intentions must be clear. In example, oh, I would like to join the discussion. It would be great if you allowed me. I like to talk myself. Not that I'm a chronic talker, but it's nice to actually have a dialogue, not monologue, not listen to monologue.
Yeah, like obviously not as much as me. I'm the talker here, but it's nice to listen to you on this show.
Okay, so I've got the last type of energy vampire I would like to talk about.
I'm so curious. Policeman.
I wish. It's called the passive aggressive vampire. So what's the characteristic trait of this type of vampire? They cover the anger or any negative emotions with sweetness and cuteness or kindness. Mm. And these are people who forget to do things. And if they do, they come up with lots of excuses. An example, your life partner who forgot about your birthday, or you have a friend who brings you sweets or alcohol, even though he or she knows that you are on a diet or you quit drinking alcohol. And also someone who tells you they will get in touch shortly because they cannot speak or they cannot communicate with you right now, and they never do. And if you react in this kind of situations, they obviously will get upset and they will look for excuses and will say, oh, that was just a joke. They also understand that relationship is built on saying an eye for an eye. They also hide emotions, especially negative emotions, behind the sweetness and kindness mask. And they are also doing things they know it would hurt you. Probably not directly, but indirectly.
Pretending to be sweet and kind, but really messing with you.
Mm-hmm. In the background, yes. So how to deal with this? If, for example, the person communicates with you and you sense that there is a hidden anger in their message, receive it as an anger and tell them that you notice the negative emotions in their message, like hidden in their message. You need to say hidden in the message and then focus on the issue and do not try to attack the vampire, but just focus on the issue. Ask them why they reacted like this.
Basically calling them out on their bullshit.
Mm. And if the message of the passive-aggressive person is not clear to you, it's always good to ask for clarification.
Okay, so we have covered the last type. Wow, I didn't know that there were so many.
Yeah, it was a lot to cover.
I think it's important also to mention that the energy that we wake up with is not finite. We wake up with certain amount of energy, and that energy gets depleted little by little as the day progresses until we get tired, and this is when we go to sleep. So when we interact with energy vampires, they are sucking the energy out of us, and this is why we feel very drained after those interactions with the energy vampires. And it is so dangerous for us to spend too much time and consistently spend time in the presence of energy vampires, because the stress caused by those relationships actually can cause cellular inflammation, and it is the root cause of all chronic diseases. So spending too much time with energy vampires can actually make you physically sick. So who in your environment might be an energy vampire? You can start doing this simple exercise whenever you are spending time with somebody, whenever you are hanging out with somebody. Afterwards, evaluate how you feel. So are you feeling drained? Are you feeling tired? Or are you actually feeling uplifted? Do you feel like you have more energy? Or you might just feel neutral. So we are sharing energy, and then spending time with certain people can actually give us energy. Sometimes when we talk, we can talk for a couple hours, Basha, and I just feel like I have so much energy after, I can go for a run. And with certain people, I have to take a nap.
Well, that's the best way you can actually regenerate.
But this is the easiest way to start evaluating your environment and the new people you meet. Just watch how you feel after talking to them, after spending time with them, after being in their presence. And that will tell you a lot. So especially if you are an empath, you really need to watch out for the energy vampires, because by nature, us empaths, we want to help. We want to comfort them. And this is exactly what they are looking for. And I think it's very universal advice when dealing with any kind of energy vampires. Whatever they want from you, just say no. And they will be gone in most cases. Remember also to protect your energy. Remember to cleanse your energy. All those tips on protecting and cleansing energy you can find in our first episode about energy. And I wish you luck. So that's it for today, guys. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and now you will be able to deal with those bad, bad boys who are energy vampires.
And the bad girls as well. In our next episode, we will talk about chakras. We will tell you how important they are in our lives and what their role is. Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye.